This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. Well, Sunday was the biggest night in all of Hollywood, in all of moviedom, and everyone was watching. Well, not everyone was watching, but almost everyone was watching. Well, maybe not almost everyone was watching, but some people were watching. All right, okay, nobody was watching the Academy Awards on Sunday, except one person. We have actually managed to track her down, and we didn't think it could be done, but we have found the one person that was watching the Academy Awards, and fortunately, she happens to be WABC's own entertainment correspondent and the host of the Red Carpet Rendezvous podcast, our own Lauren Conlon. Lauren, it is great to talk with you.
Hi, that's so funny. I guess I was the only one watching the Oscars, and I actually almost turned it off. That says a lot.
I tried to watch it, but honestly, I slept through about two-thirds of it, and I think the sleep was the highlight of the evening for me. Why do you think no one watched it? Why were the ratings at an all-time low?
I was really excited. I don't know why they were so low, except for the fact that we are still in the tail end of a pandemic. And, you know, the one thing I'll say was that the audio and the visual was actually decent. For the Golden Globes, it was so bad. I don't know if you remember it, like the Zoom and the it was just so bad. It was so bootleg. This was bootleg for other reasons, but I'm just going to say really quick, Nomadland, what was that? I cannot believe that one. I know that nobody wants to hear about this anymore, so I'll stop. But oh my gosh, worst movie ever.
So
I'm done.
In your view, if they had a very blockbuster experienced producer, Steven Soderbergh, producing the telecast, and still the ratings fell from last year, which was an all-time low, to a new all-time low. Why do you think no one is watching these awards shows anymore? What's the problem?
I mean,
and what would you do to change it?
Sorry to interrupt. They've gone downhill, and you know there used to be big openings with songs and dances and performances and funny skits, and there's nothing now. It was just, it's weird. And you know what? I think this is also telling. Bring back the host, okay? Mm. You haven't had a host for the last 3 or 4 years. Bring him back. You know, that might say something. Or it could also be that everybody's just so sick of Hollywood. They're done, you know, watching the award shows. They'll watch the movies, but they're done with the awards.
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense. Now, one of the big upsets, which took place at the very end of the evening, which I'm still trying to figure out why that worked out the way that it did, was the Best Actor nomination for the Best Actor category, in which Anthony Hopkins was not present, and he won in absentia over Chadwick Boseman, who everybody thought was a prohibitive favorite. Why was this so controversial? People seem to be kind of hating on the Academy for rewarding Anthony Hopkins rather than Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, I feel like that's not really a thing. They were both great in their roles, but Anthony was better, and that's my opinion. I really think the biggest problem of the evening was Best Picture. I won't get over it. Anthony Hopkins was deserving. Even Chadwick Boseman's family was okay with it. Everybody who watches both of these movies, I think, can say that. But, you know, Chadwick is Black Panther. Everybody loves him. And, you know, he has a special place in a lot of people's hearts. So I also get it. I get it.
So what did the family say about the purported snub of Chadwick Boseman?
I don't think they considered it a snub, right, Frank? I think they're just like, he did a wonderful job and he was in a category with a lot of talented people, and they were just super happy for Anthony Hopkins.
Speaking of things that no one watches anymore, Saturday Night Live's ratings, which this season are at an all-time low once again, is doing something really interesting, and it's my first interest in watching the show since at least a year ago. They are bringing in Elon Musk, the Tesla founder and CEO, as the host on the May 8th edition of the program. But apparently a lot of people, even some cast members, are upset about the selection of Elon Musk. Why are people so worked up over this?
I mean, I laughed at that. I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh, but it's just so stupid. You're really going to bring Elon Musk on? Or it could just be a huge publicity stunt so everybody talks about it before or everybody tunes in. But he really pissed me off. He made a statement a few months ago saying something that, like, we shouldn't have baby showers anymore. We should only have showers for people that have tech startups. because they deserve showers over, like, you know, making a new life.
I'm starting to like this guy even more now.
What's that?
I'm starting to like this guy even more now. I hate baby showers.
You know what else?
They're horrible.
I've said this before. His face reminds me of the Michael Myers mask from the Halloween movies. I feel like they molded it off his face.
That was actually Captain Kirk mask painted white. That's the Michael Myers mask.
Of course you know that. You know all these random facts. You're so good about that stuff. But I was sort of making a joke. I was trying to make you laugh. I guess it wasn't.
No. I get the point. But the reason the cast is upset isn't because of his position on baby showers or because of his similar.
No, I mean, think about it. Like, would you want to work with him as a comedian?
I would love to. Are you kidding? I think it's great. Again, I think this is the most interest the show has generated in 3 years. But why are the cast members saying they're upset?
I mean, it's like what I just said. You're supposed to hire actors and comedians and people in the arts.
Yeah, but there's a long history of non-comedians and non-actors hosting Saturday Night Live. People like John McCain, for instance, people.
Presidents. I think that's completely different.
Well,
I mean, he's really not deserving of this. I think it's a great honor to host SNL. I know a lot of people will disagree with me because it's gone downhill. I just don't think he's really deserving to be up on that stage where legends were at one point.
Fair enough. I have marked my calendar. I am going to be watching. Now, I see that they have remade West Side Story, this time with Steven Spielberg. Now, I was talking with Armand White from National Review a couple of weeks ago. He's author of this new book called Make Spielberg Great Again, and he chronicles how lately so many of Steven Spielberg's movies, instead of being just good entertaining films, are more about making some sort of a political point, like The Post and other films like that. Do we think that's what he's doing to West Side Story? What do we know about this remake?
Well, it's very funny. I have a couple friends in the show, some of my Broadway friends, so I'm very excited to see it. But it's really funny that, you know, my husband and I were watching the Oscars, and that's when they put the trailer on for this movie. So me, being a huge theater nerd, I'm watching it. I'm, like, ready to cry. I'm holding my breath. And at the end, I'm just like, that looks so good. And my husband was like, that looks like the worst crap I've ever seen in my life.
Why did you think it looked good, and why does he think it looks bad?
Well, you know, I really appreciate theater. I love West Side Story. I love the Sharks and the Jets and the dancing in that. And he has a problem with high kicks being part of a gang fight, I guess. He's like, I just don't see how that's really a thing. Like, these guys are in gang fights, but they're, you know, doing pirouettes and they're doing all these ballet moves. It just looks stupid.
Oh,
I'm like,
so,
well, you know, that's the style. That's the movie.
It's not as if he liked the original West Side Story then.
No, but I did take him to see it on Broadway for the first time. That was the first show he's seen, like, ever, in 2009. And it's funny because I think that the revival of West Side Story, they made that way more political. I don't know if they're going to make the movie political, but definitely Ivo Van Hove's revival of that show was crazy political.
Interesting. All right. So we don't know much about how this remake differs from the original film.
Well, no, not in terms of, like, wokeness. It's going to be a lot more woke.
Are the songs the same?
Yes, the story is the same.
But are the songs the same?
The songs are the same. I'm sure they're going to add a couple new songs, but yes. Don't worry, Frank. You'll get to hear I Feel Pretty.
I just wonder if they're going to do essentially a shot-for-shot remake with the same songs, why the film needs to be remade in the first place. Why not just re-release the original version?
I mean, why do they remake anything? Because it worked pretty well the first time, I would say, and they want to do it again.
I see. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how that comes out. And when is that coming out? Do you know?
Yeah, it's not for a few months. It's not for, I think it's like December or something.
Interesting.
So we've got a while. It's still 2021, though.
People can check out the trailer. I'm going to link to it on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan. You can check out the trailer and be the judge yourself. Now, I see, speaking of Broadway, there's a lot of attention being paid to this this Broadway mogul, Scott Rudin, who evidently is mean to people. Who exactly is Scott Rudin? What are they accusing him of doing? And what's his newfound status professionally?
Yeah, so Scott Rudin is a huge Broadway and Hollywood producer. I mean, he is very, very successful. He is responsible for so many successful movies. And, you know, he produced, gosh, last year on Broadway, To Kill a Mockingbird. He produced the revival of West Side Story, speaking of that. And, you know, he was set to produce The Music Man, the upcoming show with Hugh Jackman. And all of a sudden, rumors are surfacing that he's a huge, I don't know if I can say, no, he's a huge D, just like Harvey Weinstein, but just less rapey. Now, I found this to be very interesting because I had a friend that worked for him as his assistant. And I texted him when this all came out, and I was like, is Scott Rudin really a horrible person that they're making him out to be? Like, they said he's awful to his staff. He's rude. Actresses say they've had horrible experiences with him. And my friend actually said, Scott Rudin is not a horrible person at all. It's the sensitivity of the far left that pick up on keywords and try to make it an issue. It's insane. And by the way, this is coming from a leftist himself. My friend is a gay dancer on Broadway. So it's not like, you know, he's super conservative. If someone like him is saying this, then yeah, maybe there's really not an issue and it just got blown out of proportion.
Interesting. So what exactly, did he lose some job? What exactly happened?
No, he stepped away. He stepped away from his titles. But his titles of being a producer and working on all these shows. And actually, it's funny, people are worried that things are gonna kinda slip through the cracks here and that movies in Hollywood and things won't be as great without him on the projects.
Interesting. Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see how that turns out. All right. What's happening on the Red Carpet Rendezvous podcast this week?
Ooh, so this week I have Darren Bousman, who you guys might not know by name, but he is the director and the writer of most of the Saw franchise movies. And there's a new one coming out next month called Spiral, and it stars Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson, like sick cast for a Saw movie. And I saw it, and I'm actually not allowed to say anything for some dumb reason. It's like reviews are embargoed, but I was dry heaving. It's so sick. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
it's disgusting.
Are you a horror movie fan?
I like horror movies, but yeah. Oof.
All right. Well, Lauren Conlon is available on Instagram at Lauren Interviews. And you can also check out the Red Carpet Rendezvous podcast wherever podcasts are available. Be sure to subscribe to it. And trust me, it's certainly worth following her Instagram for the images alone. And what's happening with the mice? You've been chronicling the mice situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's really unfortunate, Frank. I told you we put those little traps that sort of make them disintegrate. And I'm pretty sure, well, actually, I'm not pretty sure. I am sure that one died in our dishwasher.
Oh, boy.
And yeah, it smells really bad. And this is actually as I'm taking a sip of water from a glass that I got from the dishwasher.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, so that is nasty.
No wonder you're not bothered by the Saw movies.
I know, I'm not proud, okay? I'm not proud I drink mice guts and don't taste it. My husband always says I have the palate of a dog. It's fine.
All right. Well, be sure to check out this week's edition of the Red Carpet Rendezvous podcast. Follow Lauren on Instagram and everywhere else. She's on all forms of social media. Lauren, is always a treat. I will see you sooner rather than later, I hope.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. If you want to comment on any portion of my discussion with Lauren Conlon, you're welcome to give me a call, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight, straight ahead.